I want to start off with some Thanksgiving dad jokes, all right? You understand how a dad joke works, right? You have to laugh, all right? There's no, you don't get to judge it. You just got to laugh, all right? So a teacher asked her students to write an essay on what they were thankful for Thanksgiving, and one little boy said, "I'm thankful I'm not a turkey." All right. What did the turkey say to the turkey hunter on Thanksgiving? Quack, quack. I like that one. What do you call a running turkey? Fast food. All right. See, y'all aren't getting it. You got to work with me. This is as good as it gets, all right? All right. Why did the turkey cross the road? Because he wanted everybody to think he was a chicken. All right. What was the turkey most thankful for on Thanksgiving? Vegetarians. A little bit of truth in that one. What did the mother turkey... This one's kind of dark. I ain't going to lie to you, all right? What did the mother turkey say to her disobedient children? If your father could see you now, he'd turn over in his gravy. I think that says a lot about this crowd. You laugh the loudest at the darkest joke. All right. All right, what did the sweet potato say when that was asked if it was hungry? Yes, I am. Yeah, all right. What did the salad say to the butter who kept making jokes? You're on a roll. My family told me to stop telling Thanksgiving jokes, but I said I couldn't quit cold turkey. All right, there you go, that's it. Yep. See, now you're getting it, you're getting it. They're free jokes, all right. We're going to talk a little bit about thankfulness this morning. Over the last few weeks, like I said, we've had some fellowship events. A few weeks ago, on Halloween night, we do a trunk or treat, and a whole bunch of you decorated and offered our community a place to hang out and to take their kids on Halloween night. We call it trunk or treat, and it was such a big night. We had hundreds and hundreds of people there. We had estimates that were over 1,500 people came through that night. Yeah, yeah. And so it was a beautiful night to just minister to our community and share the love of Jesus. Last Wednesday, we had Friendsgiving. All kinds of things are happening around here. When we go into the holidays, we're talking about joy. We love to be around people. We love to eat too much. It's the one time a year you get to do it with no conscience. You just get to do it. And you get to spend time with people that you love. And so as a part of that, we all take a minute. And maybe you don't do this officially, but some point in the Thanksgiving celebration, we all sort of, even if we're just riding down the road in our car, take a minute and we realize the things we're thankful for. We all know what Thanksgiving really is about. And so as a part of that, I want to share three benefits of being thankful. And these are all scriptural things that happen in the Bible, and they happen to us when we live a life of thankfulness, of gratitude, a lifestyle of thanksgiving. And so we're just going to jump right in the list. Number one is this. A thankful heart is a content heart. A thankful heart is content. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. Now let's set the stage before we read this scripture. Paul was imprisoned. He was under arrest for preaching the gospel. And he was writing to the Philippian church. And he is... Every time Paul writes a letter to somebody, and the epistles in the New Testament were all letters to people or churches, and in this case, it was the Philippian church. And so he is usually handling some kind of housekeeping. He's dealing with some sort of issue, and he's telling them, don't do this, but you should do this, or you're doing great in this area, and work on that area. And in this case, in chapter 4, he starts to talk to them about himself a little bit. And he says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. He said, I'm thankful that you are concerned about me. You have heard about my situation, and your concern for me was renewed. And he's really saying, I'm grateful for that. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. He said, there really wasn't an outlet for you to show your love to me, but I'm thankful that you love me and I'm thankful that you care about me. And then he says this, it's almost as if he's trying to clear it up. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Now remember, he's imprisoned. I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to work on this one sometimes. I can't say, just like Paul, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Well, it's a journey for all of us. But then in verse 12, he says this, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, let's stop there. He said, look, I'm okay. I'm going to be okay whether I'm hungry or I'm full. If I'm in a good situation or a bad situation, I have learned to be content, because he started this off by saying, I rejoiced that you were concerned about me. He's really saying, I'm grateful for your concern about me, and I want you to be concerned, and thank you for that, but I'm okay. I'm going to be content. And then he says, I figured out the secret of contentment. Now in our society, when we hear of somebody, the new secret to losing 50 pounds in 4 days, I mean, that guy gets rich immediately, right? We love a quick fix, but Paul's not talking about quick fixes. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't give us very many quick fixes. Most of them are about a process. Most of them are about something that is going on long term. And he said, so I've learned the secret. And then in verse 13, he reveals the secret. He says, I can do all this through him, through Jesus, who gives me strength. He didn't say, I've learned how to fix the bad circumstances. He said, I've learned that if I will trust in Jesus, if I will put my faith in him, he's going to see me through this journey. He's going to walk with me. Thankfulness and contentment go hand in hand. Thankfulness is how we measure the feelings about what we do have. Let me say that again. Thankfulness is how we measure our feelings about what we do have. Contentment is how we measure our feelings about what we don't have. At Thanksgiving, we're going to stop and we're going to say, Lord, thank you for a job and thank you for family. Thank you for a place to live and thank you for good health and or thank you for helping us through those hard times. Contentment is how we measure the stuff we don't have. Maybe this year hasn't been a great year for you. Maybe this is not a year you're going to look back on and go, wow, we wish we could do that again. Maybe you're at the end of this year, you're thinking, thank God, 2023 is coming. And he said, the secret to all that is I can do it. I can do it because God is on my side. He's promised. It's a little bit weird that in Thanksgiving or in November, we are thankful, and in December, we're asking for stuff. Isn't it a little bit weird? It seems like it should be reversed. And so it really gives us an opportunity at Thanksgiving to sort of set the tone for what December looks like. When we set the tone that I'm content. I'm okay. I don't need... Stuff is not going to change my life. Stuff is not going to change the life of my children. Thankfulness says it helps me to focus on what I have rather than what I don't have. Lord, thank you for what you've already blessed me with. I know you've been faithful. Our prayers don't have to look like shopping lists. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he started them off by saying, hey, this is the way you pray. And he gives them the Lord's Prayer. And he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. He starts off by just honoring God, putting God first. Then he shows them how to pray for God's will and how to be thankful, all those things. But he starts off with a reverence for God and God's all-knowing presence in our life. He knows it all. He understands where we're at, what we're going through, what we're going to need, when we're going to need it. And thankfulness says, Lord, I just trust you. I'm going to be content in this moment. I'm just going to let you use me and have your way in me. I love the story about the pilot that every time he flew over the Appalachian Mountains, he would peek out of the side window and he would look down into those mountains. And his co-pilot had seen him do this several times. And he said, What are you doing? Why do you look down at that spot every time? He said, because when I was a little boy, I used to sit down there at that river and fish, and I would look up at the sky and see the planes go over and wish I was flying. And he said, now I'm flying over and I look down and I wish I were fishing. There's always something else. Boy, if I could just have that, or if I could just do this, or if the new job, or if the new car, or if they would stop acting this way. And we live with this tortured existence of, I got to change something. Something's got to be different. And the Apostle Paul said, look, I know what it is to be poor and rich. I know what it is to have a lot and have a little. I know how to go hungry, and I know how to go full. I'm going to be okay. And I've learned it because my trust is in Jesus, not in me. Because if I trust in me, I'm going to always mess it up. But if I trust in him, contentment cannot be achieved by increasing our earthly possessions. Nothing's going to ever be enough. Thankfulness is when we look outward instead of inward. Lord, look at what you've already done for me. It realigns our lives. It helps us to walk in contentment when we realize what we have to be thankful for. Here's the second benefit of gratitude. A thankful heart is a positive heart. Thankful heart is a positive heart. 1 Thessalonians says this, always be joyful. Let's just stop right here just a minute. Just check our joy. Are you joyful right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Or, there's half of you said yes. The rest of us got to go, when am I going to be joyful? When is that moment? And Paul said, again, always be joyful. Always. He's asking us to up our game. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. He's really saying if you're going to always be joyful, you're going to always have to pray. You can't quit praying if you're going to have joy. And then he says this, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. To be thankful in all circumstances. Thankfulness encourages me to have a positive attitude. When I have a positive attitude, it changes the way I approach my life. The moment of gratitude, one moment of gratitude can change my life. It can change me from looking at life through a negative lens to a positive lens, but I have to choose it. The moment we begin to realize how much we actually have already is the moment that our attitude shifts, that something changes in us. Things start looking different, maybe not quite so bad. We become more optimistic. Our gratitude increases our self-esteem, and it makes us happier as we walk through life. But watch this, though. If you start living with a grateful attitude and you start seeing life through a positive lens, not everybody's going to be okay with that. Not everybody's going to look at you and go, well, hallelujah for you. Some people are going to be behind your back going, he just smiles all the time. Makes me sick. I mean, he's just delirious. I mean, just all the time. Smiles about stuff, encourages people. I'm sick of it. I need some negativity in this break room. We all know what it looks like when you come into the break room or the dinner table or wherever, and you just have if I was real spiritual, I'd say a complaining spirit on you. If you just came in, you just want to complain, and somebody says, well, it might not be. Maybe they meant this. And you're like, no, they didn't mean that. They don't like me, and that's the reason they did it. When we start having something happens. If I got a negative attitude, I don't want to be around your positive attitude. So I've got to be prepared that when I start walking in thanksgiving and I start walking in gratitude, it's going to rub some people the wrong way. That happened even to Jesus. Jesus went to a Pharisee's house in Luke chapter 7, and he was about to have dinner with this person, and a lady who had been forgiven of her sins brought spices and ointment before Jesus. She knelt down at his feet to wash his feet. And it was customary for the person whose house it was that you were visiting, it was customary for them to have water and towels for you to wash your feet because they were walking around in sandals. They didn't have Nikes, all right? So they're just walking everywhere they went. And so you could wash your feet. This lady knelt down in front of him. She took an ointment and she started to anoint his feet. And her gratitude was just running over in her. And she started, the Bible says she started to weep. And she washed the feet of Jesus with her tears. She was so incredibly grateful that she just started bawling. And the Bible says that she just started wiping his feet with her hair. And the people around were like, I can't believe she just used all that fancy oil washing Jesus' feet. Why she just over there blubbering? Why didn't she use a towel? And Jesus said, look, as a matter of fact, right in the middle of that passage, Jesus looks at the Pharisee and says, I got something to tell you. Look it up later. It was like a, you know, pay attention. I'm about to give you some real instruction here. Because they're all upset. And Jesus said, look, when you've been forgiven a lot, you are very grateful. When you've been forgiven a little bit, you think you had something to do with, and you don't walk with as much gratitude. This lady has been forgiven of much. Her life has been changed. She thought her life was ended. She thought she was never going to have all the joys of life. But now, because of grace, she has all that, and she just overcome with positivity and thanksgiving and gratitude. And the people around her didn't like it. There are going to be people that see you when you walk in gratitude, and they're going to just say, I can't, what in the world? He's one of those freaks that goes to that Grace Point Church. Listen, I hope they do. Because here's what happens. Eventually, I hit a rock bottom in my life. And who do I want to find? I don't want to find the negative person. I want to find the person who walked through the fires and still had joy. I want to know, what in the world do you have that keeps you smiling and encouraging others and living in contentment and gratitude? I want to know what that's about. Gratitude magnifies the positives of our life. It helps us deal with our negative emotions. Helps us to appreciate the value of the things in our life that God does. It forces us to think about what is right in our lives rather than what is wrong in our lives. Here's the third benefit. A thankful heart is a hopeful heart. Hopeful about the future. Look at what the psalmist said. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The word forever is about the future. He's saying, I want you to think about the future. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. Go on and read that later. It goes on and on and on and on. Giving us reasons to honor the Lord and reasons to be thankful, reasons to recognize that his love endures forever. Thankfulness develops into hope. When we are walking in a truly thankful heart, we have a hope about the future that other people don't have. Looking backward into the past sometimes helps us to realize that God had our past and he also has our future. It's us saying, God, you were there when this happened, and you were there when that happened, you were there when the other thing happened, and if you were faithful through all that, when I was scared and afraid and worried and nervous and angry and negative, when you were faithful in all of that, and I look back at how you answered my prayers and how you worked in my life, I can trust you with the future. I can trust you with where you're taking me. Thankfulness takes the pressure off. When I say, I just want to trust God, I just want to let him have his way. To give thanks is to admit that I'm dependent on God. I couldn't have done this without you, Lord. That's what we're saying. God, thank you for the blessings in my life. I would not have this in my life if it were not for you working on my behalf. That's what gratitude and thanksgiving is. It's just realizing it wasn't about my abilities that got me here. It was about God's grace and his gifts and his love. Isaiah 40 and 31 says this, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. If I don't hope in the Lord, I can't renew my strength. I can't soar on wings like eagles. I can't run and not be weary. I can't walk and not faint. I'm going to faint and I'm going to grow weary and I'm going to crash. unless I have hope. Hope is not just looking into the future and thinking, maybe if I just am good, then God will maybe sort of, kind of let some good things happen in my life. That's not hope. Hope is much deeper than that. Hope is founded in Jesus. That he's the one that was, the Bible says, and is to come. He was in the past. He is in the present. And the Bible says he is in the future already. He's out there waiting. He's already prepared the path. It's confident expectation that God is going to work, continue working in my life. We all have to have some hope or we give up. Gratitude breeds hope in our life. I want to tell you this little story. It's more of a parable than anything. It was a school next door to a hospital. This school was for elementary children, and they had a deal with the hospital that every time one of the kids from school was in the hospital, that the hospital would provide a teacher to teach that child the lessons they needed while they were in the hospital so they wouldn't get behind, so that when they got well, they could just go back to school. There's a certain little boy who was in a bad accident. He was badly injured, and people didn't really even know if he was going to live. So the hospital teacher met with the school teacher and just to get the lessons that needed to be taught to this little boy. And the school teacher said that the thing they were working on right then was nouns and verbs, trying to help these kids understand what nouns and verbs were. So the hospital teacher went to the hospital, and when she went in the room for the first time, she was a little bit shocked at what terrible shape this little boy was in, and she sort of muddled through her lesson about nouns and verbs, and she didn't really know if he got anything, and she didn't know if she did a good job because she was so shocked by his condition when she went in. She left, and the next day she came back to teach him about nouns and verbs again. And one of the nurses caught her before she went in the door, and the nurse said, "What did you do when you were in there yesterday?" And the hospital teacher said, I don't know. I'm sorry if I messed up, if I did something wrong. I apologize. And the nurse said, no, you didn't do anything wrong. She said, after you left, something went right. She said, it seems like today he's been responding to his treatments better. And he has a better attitude. And he's got some fight in him now. And she said, I think he's going to live. Both of them went into the room to investigate what happened in this little boy's body and mind the day before. So they asked him, why do you think you're feeling better after the teacher was here yesterday? And he said, I realized that they wouldn't have sent a teacher to teach me about nouns and verbs if they thought I was going to die. So yesterday I realized I was going to live. How many of us are caught in that moment of feeling like it's never going to be better? Things are never going to change. It's going to always look like it looks. There's nothing I can do. There is no hope. And God is still working, but we haven't seen him working in a while, so we start to give up hope. We start to live in that place of negativity. I want to say to somebody this morning, all the way back in the book of Psalms, listen to this. I want to say to somebody this. Though the psalmist was in a battle for his life, and he said, though hostile nations surround me, they swarmed around me like bees, they blazed against me like a crackling fire, my enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. And Psalm 118 and 7 says, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. I want to say to somebody this morning, you are not here. God did not bring you to this point to die. God brought you to this point so you could live and tell the story and testify of God's goodness in your life. God's not done. God didn't get you here to drop you. You might have been dropped by people in your life along the way, but you've never been dropped by God. He has never walked away. He has never failed. He didn't bring you here so you could die. He brought you here so the testimony of God's goodness could live through you and me. Amen. 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 I want you to stand with me. If you are struggling through Thanksgiving, I want to encourage you today. Find somebody to testify of God's goodness. You may feel like a fake in the beginning. You may feel like, well, there's all this other bad stuff, and I'm just looking for the positive things. That's what thankfulness does. It looks for the blessings and the goodness of God. It looks for what God has already done and what He's planning to do in our lives. So if that's you, again, He didn't bring you here to let you die. He brought you here to testify. God wants to work. God wants to move. Our job is very simple, to lean on Him, to trust Him, to walk in gratitude. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, I want you to know Him above everything else. I want you to know Him. I want you to be able to say, God, look, all this good stuff in my life, I didn't do it, You did it. Thank You. I want to start trusting You. I'm tired of trusting my own ability and my own strengths and my own wisdom. It's not enough. I can't do it. I want to trust in You. I want to trust in You more. If you want to start your journey with the Lord this morning, I want you, in your own words, I want you to pray this prayer. God, I admit that I've sinned. I believe in You and who You are, and I confess You as Lord of my life. I want You to be in charge of my life. That's what it's about. Just admit that I've sinned, believe in Jesus, and confess Him as Lord of my life. If that's you, as we pray in just a minute, just pray that in your own words and let God start to work in your life. Let this be your starting point. You get to draw yourself a new starting line today. You say, well, I'm kind of old. Good. A new starting line will be perfect. We all need a new starting line. And that's what Jesus did on the cross for us all. Gave us a starting over point. And while we're praying this morning, maybe you're at that place where you're saying, I got stuff in my life. It sounds like the psalmist, like a crackling fire. Like my life is going up in flames. I want to say to you this morning, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that we recognize we didn't come here to die. We came here to live and testify. And God's going to be faithful. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You today. God, You've been so good to us. Lord, for those that this morning are struggling to just to make sense of life, Lord, I pray that there would be a peace and a joy that they've never experienced before. That in the middle of that crackling fire, God, You would remind them that You are right there in the middle of the fire with them. You didn't bring them here to die. You brought them here to make sure they live. God, if there's somebody in the room who says, I just need to start my relationship with God today, Lord, I pray You'd help them to make that choice, to move forward in their relationship with You and just let You do Your work. God, we just want to release all the things that we can't control into Your care. We want to cast all of our cares on You, the Bible tells us to. We just want to unload it this morning and ask You to do Your work and speak in us and through us. And we pray that You be glorified in all of this. Lord, help us to be like the lady who anointed the feet of Jesus and lived a life of gratitude no matter what anybody thought. We trust You today, Lord. And we thank You for what's coming. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give Him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Now listen, for all of us, me included, for all of us, living a lifestyle of gratitude and thanksgiving can be hard. It can be hard. Listen, the first day you decide, I'm going to live with gratitude, you're going to start that day feeling like a fake. You just are. Because it is fake compared to what you've been doing. But when you unload all that and you just say, Lord, I truly am grateful. I truly do want to look at the blessings of God. The Bible says this, every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from Him. Every good thing in your life came from him. And he's promised to be faithful to you in every bad thing that happens in your life. So you're going to feel like a fake the first time you do it, but don't stop. Let's plow through. Let's push ahead. Let's trust God. Let's walk this attitude of thanksgiving out. You don't have to force it on somebody else. Just start walking it out on your own. Just trusting him. Allowing God to work. When you recognize all the negative stuff that's happening in your life, you don't have to act like it's not there. As a matter of fact, it's probably a bad thing to act like it's not there. All right? You recognize it and you go, but God's still in charge. God still cares about me. There's some stuff I don't like. There's some stuff God doesn't like here that I know God doesn't even want, but for whatever reason, he sees fit right now to let me go through this difficult time. But I'm going to walk in gratitude and I'm going to walk in thanksgiving. I'm going to trust him because I'm not here to die. I'm here to testify. Father, thank you for all you're doing. And Lord, we just pray that this week, God, we would walk with an attitude of gratitude, Lord, that we would just start to change if we need to, or we would just start to change that our old negative ways into positive affirmations of your grace, Lord, that we would just say thank you. We would just say thank you and let you do your work in us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.